Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. This is a live show and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. Today is the last episode of College Month on Parent Talk. Every week this month, we've been discussing a different aspect of college, starting with college admissions, college testing, nutrition, counseling. And now in this particular episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about how to help our kids lead independent lives. To listen to recordings of the past shows, check out indiacc.org/parenttalk. And to participate on the show, email me at radio@indiacc.org. Freshman year is the first time away from home for most kids. And last week we discussed about the various things that could stress out kids because of being away from home for the first time, because they have a great deal of responsibility thrust on them. And with that responsibility, they get a lot of freedom to make choices. So today we're going to discuss how to help our child get those strategies to live independent lives and in that sense be a little better prepared for college when they do go. My guests today are Sushma Trivedi, Nipa Shah and Ravi Dev. Sushma is a licensed marriage and family therapist with a practice in Palo Alto and San Jose, and she works a lot with teenagers. Welcome to the show again, Sushma.
Thank you very much.
Nipa Shah is a financial planner and consultant. Welcome to the show, Nipa.
Thank you, Vidya.
And Ravi was a student at the University of Michigan, and he's now working with a startup, TapJoy, in San Francisco. Ravi, do we have you on the line?
Yes, thank you very much.
So, Ravi, let me begin with you, because you probably have the most recent college experience of all of us, and I want to find out, when you went to college, what was the first challenge you faced or the biggest challenge you faced living alone?
So I think that there's a number of challenges that definitely occur when you live alone, especially for me, given that I'd grown up in California and I'd gone out of state to the University of Michigan, which is very far from home, obviously. But I think the biggest challenge is, first of all, living an independent financial life. I think for the first time, you don't have your parents to help you out if you maybe need $20, or you don't have your parents to help you out if you have a question regarding, you know, maybe a student loan or something that's going on, because you're all alone, right? And I think that was one of the biggest challenges, was just not having your parents right there to help you out.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that is one of the things that we're going to be focusing on today, and that's why we have Nipa with us today to talk about the financial challenges of being in college. And Nipa, so maybe it's a good time to segue to you and talk about, you know, this is obviously something that every student, especially those who are going out of town, are going
to
face.
Right.
So is there a way to better prepare our kids before they go for all these challenges? And also, while they're in college, what are the things we can do for them?
Yeah, sure. So in our last month, when we were talking about, you know, how to prepare children for children with managing money, I think this preparation should start since kids are young, right? Help them manage money, handle money when they're young, and particularly in high school years. So one thing I think that would help a lot to, you know, it helps us adults as well as children when they are going to college is budgeting. Mm-hmm. Having a budget, just having good sense of what are your incomes, right? Income could be money that your parents are giving you or you are earning, allowance, whatever that income is, and also having sense of what your expenses would be for the semester. Mm-hmm. So just keep a good budget, and the budget could be, you know, created in many different ways. It could be as simple as jotting down your expenses and income in a notepad versus, you know, creating a Quicken, using
spreadsheet
Quicken, right, spreadsheet or software. But I think a starting point should be a budget and having sense of your expenses and income.
So, Ravi, when you were at college, what were your sources of income?
Yeah, so I think that point was good with regard to creating a budget. I just think that it's just not very practical. I think that there's very few people who are 15 or 16 years old that are actually going to be interested in maintaining a spreadsheet and writing down all of their expenses. And so I think the real challenge comes where people go to college and they haven't learned these things, because very few people are going to take initiative on their own. Mm-hmm. And then they have to all of a sudden learn some of these skills. And so, you know, when I was in college, I think my main sources of income, obviously my parents had paid for my education and my room and board. But the deal was kind of that anything beyond that I had to pay for on my own. And so I actually got a job freshman year in the university, kind of the dorm room cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of my main sources of income for how I paid for my day-to-day expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, for the rest of the 3 years at Michigan, I worked at Starbucks as a barista. And I also had jobs in the summer. So that was mainly the source of income that I used to pay for a lot of my expenses while I was in college.
Right. And did you feel that served you really well in terms of learning how to be responsible about money?
I think there's two points here. I think the first thing, which I think some of you guys have touched on earlier, which is reaching financial independence at a younger age and making kids more financially independent. I think that starts with accountability. And the best way to do this, I think, is to actually have your kid open up, have a credit card, right? And it could be a joint credit card between the parent and the kid, but they should manage their own credit card on their own. It shouldn't be their parents' credit card. It should be their credit card, and they should be responsible for paying the monthly bill and monitoring month to month how much they're spending. And that's actually, in my opinion, the best way to create a budget is when you have your own account. Now,
mm-hmm.
the parents can help out in terms of, you know, sourcing the money potentially in their checking account to pay off the credit card bill. But actually managing your own card on your own, I think, it makes it a little bit harder when you're actually spending money and knowing that it's coming out of your account and not necessarily your parents. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's a big thing, is kind of having accountability. I think the second point is the value of money. And I think that, you know, the fact is a lot of our kids in the Bay Area come from very wealthy situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I had gone out to Michigan, my roommates, almost all of my roommates actually were paying not only for all of their own expenses, but they were paying for college on their own without any of their parents' help, and they were doing work study jobs, et cetera. And so
mm-hmm.
That pressured me to kind of actually, you know, really evaluate the, you know, money, because I'd come from Cupertino, which is a very well-off area. And
mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big point, too, is making sure you understand the value of money. And I think that working certain jobs, I think it's a really good way. You know, if you are on your feet for 8 hours and you're making, you know, $60, I think that does teach someone the value of money better than certain other situations. So,
absolutely. So, you know what, let's take a break at this point. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what are the opportunities available to younger kids to get that kind of experience that Ravi got after going to college. And at that point, he certainly was in a position to get a job and make some money of his own and get used to the value of money. But what are the opportunities for younger kids to do that? Ravi, do stay on the line. We love hearing from you.
Okay.
And we'll be back after a break. Our call-in number, if you want to share your experiences, is 770-1550. That's 510-770-1550. You're listening to Parent Talk, and we're talking about how to get our kids to learn independent skills and financial skills before they go to college, so that college is not a big shock in terms of being able to live alone and manage on their own. See you after the break. Welcome back to Parent Talk. We're talking about helping kids lead independent lives and manage their money responsibly when they go to college. And we've been talking with Sushma Trivedi, Nipa Shah, and Ravi Dev. Before the break, Ravi talked to us a little bit about the biggest challenge that he had to face when he was in college, and that was being out of town, not being able to, you know, ask his parents for money when he really needed it, and also then realizing the value of having to work a job, because that was the example that was set for him by his fellow students. And that really is something that I want to explore further, especially with Sushma, because Ravi brought up a very important point. He said that many of the students from the Bay Area come from fairly affluent families, and really the parents have not seen a need for the child to work or accumulate money for the tuition. It's assumed that these things are going to be paid for by the parents, right, Sushma?
Well, it's, you know, money is one part of working, and I think it is always good to teach children to manage money earlier the better. You know, they may not budget, they may not have the patience to do that, as Ravi pointed out, but I think that for them to learn the value of money is always a good thing. However, so we can actually get the kids working when they are in high school.
Mm-hmm.
When they are
what
16.
Age?
Mm-hmm. At 16, they can actually officially, they can legally work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are a lot of jobs they can do. They can work in retail, you know, as somebody who's stocking the shelves, or they are folding the clothes and putting them back properly. So, and they can work at Supercuts, they can work at McDonald's, they can work at, you know, JCPenney Photo Studio. So there are a lot of jobs available to young people. And remember, working is not just for money.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to work, they learn dependability, they learn responsibility, they learn accountability, they learn respect for authority. These are really critical skills for success in life.
That's right. And if they're not working for money, then is 16 a cutoff point? Or can if you're just if you're going and saying helping out, say your local corner store, and saying, hey, can I just work here for the summer and learn some work skills? Can they do it earlier, or are they not allowed to?
I think people will be very hesitant
mm-hmm.
to hire them.
Right.
However, when they are younger, they can walk their neighbor's dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can pick up the newspaper. They can water their plants. And, you know, there are things available for them
mm-hmm.
that are not, you know, big jobs, but babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you are 13, 12 or 13, 14, you can do babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those are really good things to do. And it also teaches them time management.
Right. They have to show up at a certain time. They have to be responsible during that time, certainly.
Yes.
But I do think that, and I'm totally guilty of this as a parent myself, but you don't think about it. You don't think about giving your children the opportunities to be independent because, you know, we've worked and we want our children to have a slightly easier life than we did. And we have our under 16-year-old in the studio with us today, our producer, Hunar. And I want to ask you, Hunar, right now, is there a way you earn money? Is there some way?
No, I don't earn money. I usually, when I need money, I would go to my parents and ask them for money.
And are they usually good about saying, take it? Or
yeah,
is there a discussion that happens?
I mean, they usually know that I need money, so they will probably give me money.
And is there a quid pro quo there, which is like, you can earn this money if you do these chores. Is there anything like that?
Well, not really.
Not really. And that is very common. I mean, I say that with my kids, too. If they need something, they come to me and they say, hey, mom, can I buy this book? And if I don't have a huge problem with ultimately what is being purchased, if it's a book or it's a game or something, and I'd probably say yes. So, Sushma, what advice do you give parents like me and like Hunar's parents who basically the kids come to them and they ask for something and you just give it to them?
Well, the responsibility you give to your children needs to be age-appropriate.
Okay.
And certainly, I think it is absolutely appropriate to tell them that, you know what, you can make some money. I mean, you know, you're just playing video game all day. You can go and babysit so-and-so. Or you can walk their dog. Or you can cut the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is absolutely okay to say that. It's okay to tell them, you know, I'm getting very tired today. Are you going to make dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you do that, we'll put so much money in your account for additional additional expenses or whatever. I think it is also a good idea when they are about 12, definitely when they enter high school or maybe even earlier in mm-hmm. middle school, have a certain allowance for them, that this is the allowance you are going to have. You know, if you want to go with a friend to mm-hmm. grab a soda or something, it has to come from that allowance.
So you give them some money so that a limited amount of money so that they can be responsible staying within that budget.
Yes. And, you know, as mm-hmm. Nipa said, that it's their income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they also learn to defer gratification.
Right.
You know, I want to buy this fancy thing that, you know, my parents may not buy me. I know my mom is going to say no, and it's a good thing to say no, moms. So maybe if I save money this month and I save money next month, then I will be able to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So this learning to defer gratification
mm-hmm.
is really, you know, a big part of growing up. And if you don't learn that, that is when you are grown up, you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Ravi, you had said that talking about budgeting is a pretty impractical thing. And that's something that you wouldn't have really listened to your parents if they had said, okay, budget. Why did you say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if you ask a kid who's, you know, busy with SATs and, you know, all the social pressures of being in high school to write down everything that they're spending, that's just inherently not something that they will find of value. And I think that, you know, we talk about things like financial, you know, management and things. I think that I don't think kids at that age see much value in it. They don't really understand the implications of it because they're not actually having to make big financial decisions like their parents are. So I think that's the main reason. It's just there's so many things in the short term that are on their mind that mm-hmm. something like financial management is just not one of the things that they see important at the time.
When you were in high school, did you get an allowance or were there some ways you could earn money?
Yeah, so I did get an allowance, but I would say that my situation was more similar to the producers in that, you know, if I really wanted something, then I would potentially ask my parents. And I think, you know, I think the point which was made, which was really good about deferring gratification, which is good, is I think at a young age, if you can get kids to, you know, the biggest challenge we have as we get older is you have to make big decisions. Do I want to buy a car or do I want to invest in a property? And those are big financial decisions. And if you can get kids at a younger age to be thinking like that, do I want to go out and get a soda or do I want to buy a video game, and you know, running the trade-offs in their head, I think mm-hmm. that's if we can make kids do that at a younger age, and I think the allowance system, I think that is a really good way to get that, you know, in the teen years especially.
Did you manage it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for me to remember exactly how I do remember of having kind of an allowance which I would buy big things off of, like if I bought a video game or something like that. Mm-hmm. But day to day, if I was getting lunch money or something, I would get that from my parents.
So I think that's a good point. And adding to what Ravi and Sushma just said, I think it's a good idea whether kids are getting allowance or they are earning from a job, whatever money they are having or, you know, money that they get from gifts. It's a good idea to parents for parents to teach kids that whatever money they have, they should So not going into like very detailed budgeting, but just have this high level goals that certain percent you would spend out of that. Certain percent of that money would go towards your savings. So even if it's 10% or 20% of money that you would put in savings account, and certain percent of that money would go towards, I think charities also should be included in that, teaching kids at young age, charity concept, giving some of your fortune to people who are unfortunate. So I think those skills could be developed from junior high and high school, definitely. And deferred gratification, I totally agree. It's a good skill to teach kids. If you want a DS or, you know, this designer jeans, I guess first question they should be asking themselves is, do I really need it? And if they feel that, okay, they have to have that, just have those short-term goals and long-term goals and save towards your, you know, your goals. So that could be, you know, wanting to buy a car, like Ravi was saying, at an older age, or mm-hmm. in high school, they might want to buy some fancy shoes or fancy, you know, jeans or whatever that could be.
Let's talk about credit cards now. Ravi, did you have a credit card when you went away? Was that?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I had my own credit card.
And what was the system on that? Was it like a credit card with a limit on it? Or was it simply attached to your parents?
The credit card did have a limit on it. I would never approach that limit in terms of my spending. Mm-hmm. But basically, the credit card, I had my own checking account, which is where I had all my money that I, you know, accumulated through working or, you know, birthday, you know, gifts, graduation money, things like that. And then as I was accruing income from working jobs in college, that money would go into my checking account, and I would use that money to pay off the monthly credit card bill.
Right. Sushma, do you have, and I want to ask this question of both Sushma and Nipa, is there a, like a good policy to follow when it comes to credit cards? Is there a certain age at which we need to start teaching our children to use it? Because credit cards, you know, in this particular country and this economy, credit card abuse and credit card debt is a huge problem. And I guess this is one part of financial management that we really want to teach our kids. So, Sushma, why don't you handle first the responsibility part of the credit card? You know, how do we teach our kids? And then Nipa can talk a little bit about the modalities and the process for doing it.
Yeah, so I think it is a great idea for kids to have the credit cards. However, even though it is in the joint name with the parents, children are responsible for maintaining it. And, you know, when we look at the larger picture, if you look at the society is set up for young people to learn financial management. So if a kid runs over his account on the credit card and are not able to pay it off, you know, there are so many credit counseling agencies And when they are young, you know, it may take them 2 years or 3 years to kind of, you know, get the bad credit score off their record. But that's okay. But then they learn credit counseling. Mm-hmm. They learn how to manage money. So it is, I think it is a good idea to get them a credit card. But I also think that it should not only be for their convenience. Mm-hmm. It should be with the view.
A tool
to
for.
Teaching them responsibility.
Accountability.
And accountability. You know, if you don't control yourself, others will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you...
Also, but then if you have know, a... And here's where I want Nipa's input. Nipa, if your credit card is in is an adjunct of your parents' credit card, then doesn't it actually reflect on their rating and not yours? How does this work?
It reflects both of your rating, not, I believe, not just children's rating. So, first of all... when I was in college, that time there were not as stricter rules. Credit card companies used to just send all the any student, even without parents having to co-sign, they could get credit cards, and they would credit card companies would give you free T-shirt or free pizza for taking their credit card. So students should know that the banks are giving you credit card because it's in their bank's interest and not in your interest, right? So like Sushma said, everyone needs credit card and should have a credit card, but it's very important that they students learn to use them, use it properly. So they need to know what whether they're paying annual fees, what is the APR, what are the interest rates that they're paying. Mm-hmm. So even if your limit is, say, $2,000, it doesn't mean that you should go and, like Ravi was saying, he doesn't go and buy a lot of things. But so this is where being responsible comes in the picture, right? They need to learn to say, okay, this is what I need, and that this is where I'm going to use credit card. Just because I have 2,000 limits, I'm not going to spend $2,000. The other thing is paying your bills on time, right? You know, credit card interest rates are very, very high. So you don't want to pay those high interest rates. And when you purchase anything on credit card, you're taking a loan. So it's a debt on you, right? So you want to pay off all your debt on time so you don't have to pay those high interest rates.
What about a debit card? I think the way Ravi was talking about it, it seemed like it was connected to his checking account. Ravi, was it a debit card?
So I was actually playing with the credit card, but I do think, you know, to get around a lot of the concerns which are valid that you guys have brought up, you could just do a debit card. It would be the same way I operated my credit card. And I mean, the key is the kids should know, you know, you should be checking your account, you know, every few weeks. And if you're around $200, $300, there's a risk of an overdraft fee, and what does that mean? And I think those are the lessons which I think are important in having a card as opposed to just using kind of getting these cash bundles through allowance or something like that in college. I think that you should understand the concepts of running balances and paying bills, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And Sushma, you had something to say.
Well, I completely agree with everything that Nipa has said and Nipa and Ravi have said. One more thing to think about, that whether it's a credit card or a debit card, actually it applies more to the debit card, is for the parents that, first of all, it also lets the parents kind of monitor what kids are spending money on. And as far as the debit card is concerned, if the account is overdrawn, and it happens, you know, a couple of months in a row, that's a sure sign that parents need to step in to find out what's happening. You know, where is the money going?
How early can we do this debit card thing? One is, of course, when the child is in college, but isn't that a little too late? Because by the time, I mean, especially if the child is in another state, it may be very hard to have those conversations. Can you start a debit card younger than college?
As far as I know, I think you have to be 18 to use either credit card or debit card. But there are a lot of tools and exercises available out there for just as a lesson to teach kids. And even I have a lot of worksheets that I give out to my clients when they want to teach their kids. So different worksheets that teaches kids how to handle credit card or how to manage debit card, checkbooks and those sort of things. But I believe you have to be 18 years old.
You have to be 18.
Yeah, I think for debit card, actually, the age is most, I think it's actually younger. I think credit cards maybe, I don't even know if there's an age. I think that credit cards, you probably wouldn't get approved maybe before before you're showing some sort of income, and, you know, maybe 18 is kind of the age they start approving. But I'm fairly certain, even at PayPal, when I was working there, we had a product called the student account, which was an account specifically for students, and we'd funnel money from the parents' account, and they had a debit card issued through PayPal, which they could use and spend on. And so I think it's actually for debit cards lower than 18.
Okay, so maybe a debit card makes some sense. We do need to take another break, but when we come back, I want to move, sort of wind this up and sort of move to some of the other aspects of independent living, managing your life and your daily routine, which I think, again, as Indian parents, we don't give our children too much of that opportunity to do that. And our call-in number is 510-770-1550. If you have some thoughts to share, do call us, and we'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Parent Talk. You're listening to your host, Vidya, and we're talking to Sushma Trivedi, Nipa Shah, and Ravi Dev about independent living and financial management in college. Earlier on in the show, we talked a little more about the financial aspect of it, credit cards versus debit cards. We also talked about making sure that the kids have some kind of occupation and a job before they go to college so that they get the sense of responsibility and how to manage their own money. We also talked about giving kids an allowance so that they would learn to sort of live within it. In this segment, I want to talk about some other aspects of independent living in college. Ravi, do share with us your experiences of living alone, living by yourself, not having your parents around to do things for you. Was that a difficult thing to adjust to?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some adjustment period. For sure, if you grow up and you have your parents potentially doing laundry and cooking for you, and then you go to college and you don't have a lot of those liberties that you had earlier of having your parents help you out. And so, yeah, I do think that's an adjustment period. But again, when you go to a place that far away, you don't really have much choice. It's kind of a sink or swim environment. And so I think that you kind of have to learn to adjust over the course of time.
And were there like some mistakes that you made along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard off the top of my head to think of anything. You know, I think the biggest thing is you don't have your parents consistently telling you what to do and what not to do. You're making your own choices, whether it be study in the library or participate in some activity. And inherently, when you're 18 years old, some of those choices maybe aren't the best ones, and they get better over time by being independent. I think the moral of the story is that actually, long-term, having to make those choices on your own and making mistakes on your own is probably a better way to learn kind of and improve than to when you consistently have people like your parents making decisions for you.
Did you wish at some point in time in your first year at college when you were making these adjustment processes that you had known some of these things before you went there?
To be honest, I don't think so. I think that these are things that they're really not. I think over time you acquire a lot of the learnings of living alone and living independently. And it's just a matter of not having that kind of safety net. And once that's gone, you learn a lot of these things on your own quickly. I wouldn't say that I could have been better prepared. It's just one of those things when you're in the situation and you don't have your parents near you, you just have to learn things on your own and move on.
Well, Ravi seems to be an extremely well-adjusted person, and very you did seem to handle it very much.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think his parents did an excellent job of preparing him for college.
Mm-hmm.
Parents can do a lot to prepare their kids for college. They can teach them good time management. They can also not be a helicopter parent.
Right.
And that is just really controlling every aspect of their child's life before. So just let them make their mistakes even when they're in junior and senior year in high school. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they make their mistakes later on, as they get older, the stakes get higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pay greater price. So it's better that they learn to become independent earlier on.
And time management, I really do want to talk a little more about. I think we touched upon it in our last show as well. But I do know that, for instance, my teenager cannot wake up on his own. And I do have to wake him up every morning to make sure he goes to school. He has an alarm clock, doesn't always work. And, you know, as a parent, I don't want him to fail. I don't want him to get that tardy, and I don't want him to get that detention after school. And I guess that's not probably not the right thing to do.
And if you let him do that, he'll probably get a tardy, and then he will wake up on time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is about letting them live with the consequences,
right,
of, you know, their actions. You know, time management, again, it's just letting them make lists, letting them figure out what is more important, when is something due, doing the large, you know, starting the larger tasks earlier,
mm-hmm,
and breaking down the larger tasks into smaller tasks. So, you know, those are just skills that they can learn earlier on. But one more thing that is really important for parents to do is really have the career assessment for, mm-hmm, their child. You had a show on aptitude testing.
That's right.
And I cannot recommend career assessment and aptitude testing enough, mm-hmm, for parents. It is well worth the time and effort. We also need to teach our children tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know,
mm-hmm,
Ravi was talking about how, you know, kids coming from wealthy backgrounds, from Silicon Valley, they don't value money as much, but quickly having his roommates, he learned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to his advantage.
Right.
You know, how it served him well that he was open-minded about it. He was not arrogant and said, hey, you know what, my parents can pay for it. I'm not going to go and work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually went out and he worked and he made money and he managed money. I mean, that's wonderful. But then there are a lot of other aspects where you will find that the people you are sharing your room with are different from you. You know, they may have a different sexual orientation, they may be from a different race or ethnic background.
Economic class also,
economic,
right?
Class,
like
socioeconomic,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are a lot of differences that you may find with people. And if you don't teach your kids to have an open mind,
mm-hmm,
and tolerance, they can get in big trouble in college.
So let's talk about parents of teenagers now who may be listening to the show. You haven't done this so far, but you think it's important. What are the techniques to teach your children about compassion, tolerance, and diversity?
Well, parents first need to be
role models,
conversant with diversity themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so most of us, because we have such stressful life otherwise, we tend to kind of have a very homogenous social group. So, you know, we have many more Indo-American people in our social group,
mm-hmm,
than people who are different from us.
That's true.
You know, and we need to kind of diversify that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to expose our children to that diversity.
And be very careful about what we say in front of them when we're talking. Because I do see, I have experienced people making these careless comments, I would say, about, and maybe in jest, mm-hmm, but then kids absorb it. You know,
absolutely,
they may make a racial slur or they may make an ethnic slur and it seems funny.
And, you know, and either they will take on your viewpoint or they will not talk about those things in front of you.
Right.
Because in their mind, my parents won't understand it.
Right.
This is how they think.
Right.
So either way, the way parents can sort of make their kids more tolerant is by being tolerant themselves and educating themselves.
Ravi, did you think that was an important factor in your education?
Yeah, I think all the points that were just made were very good, actually. I think that there's a lot of value to surrounding yourself with people who are different than you. And I mean, I think that it definitely is apparent If you do that yourself, that encourages that in your kids. And if you don't do that yourself, then it's probably going to potentially discourage it, you know, when your kids start thinking about whether they want to do that on their own. And so I think it's tough as a parent to choose who your kids don't or do hang out with. But the best you can do at least is have an open dialogue about, you know, the diversity and things like that, and hope that your kids feel comfortable to talk about it with you and hope that they pursue meeting different people on their own.
Did you have an experience that when you went to University of Michigan that you had a much more diverse student body population than you were exposed to in here?
Yeah. I mean, I obviously went to Monta Vista, which was in Cupertino, and around the time I was there, it was around 60 to 80% Asian American. And so the first week of Michigan, I couldn't recall seeing so many white people. I'd never seen that many people in one place. And it was just growing up in this area, it's not something that you're exposed to. And so that was a culture shock for me initially. And it's something that took some time to adjust to. But I think in the long run, it was obviously great because this area is a bubble, right? This isn't what the rest of the country is like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually as far away from what a lot of parts of the country are actually like. And so I think that, I would say on top of all the points you made, I think pushing your kids to try out different experiences, you know, if you grew up in this area, you know, going to schools in Southern California or if you grew up in Southern California, vice versa, just so you're exposed to different things than what you grew up with and different people than maybe you grew up with. I think it's really good at a young age to have that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we're coming to the end of our time. I just want to close with a couple of things that I would like to help parents out with. One is, Sushma, that now if you're the parent of a teen and you have a child who you do not think is financially responsible at this point in time, what can you do about it? And Nipa, you can also add those views, and then we can maybe quickly talk about the social and independent living aspect of it.
Well, I mean, if the child is not understanding the value of money or is overspending or demanding things, you can start out by saying, hey, you know what, starting this month, we are going to start imposing some allowance system.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that will come out of your allowance, and these are the things that we will pay for.
Right.
Okay, so you may even say, you know, we've got shampoo at home that everybody uses. If you're going to use that, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a particular shampoo, you have to pay for it.
Or,
you know, if mm-hmm. you want to get your hair done in a certain way, you have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that is our designer jeans. So you can say, this is the amount of money we have for your clothes. I mean, you know, 15-year-old understands that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 15-year-old can easily manage that part of the money. That we've got so much money, this is the budget for things, and you manage that.
Right.
And so, you know, parents can start that as far as money management is concerned. The sooner you start, the better it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I guess it's sort of an object lesson that we need to have our kids take on some independent responsibilities in their life as early as possible. Or we cross our fingers and hope that we've been as good parents as Ravi's parents have been to him, because he seems to have adjusted really well to independent life and financial management in college. With that, we come to the end of today's show. Ravi, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure to have you. Sushma, Nipa,
thank you.
Always wonderful to have you in the studio and to share your insights.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of College Month on Parent Talk, and you can find the recording of all the shows on indiacc.org/parenttalk. You can also find out what our upcoming shows are there, and if you want to participate in any of our upcoming shows, please write to me at radio@indiacc.org. Today's show was produced by Hunar Dhar, and the theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan. Tune in same time, same place next week for another show on parenting, and it's a live show. Till then, bye-bye.